This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal for January 2nd, 2020. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we look at a newly proposed ordinance for the town of Blue Hill, which would prohibit the sale, application, and storage of synthetic pesticides in the town, with exemptions including for commercial agriculture. We speak with an organizer with the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Ordinance Group, Rick Traub. And we hear part of a talk hosted by the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Group, given by organic farmer, agricultural researcher, and author, Elliot Coleman. We're speaking with Rick Traub with the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Group, who is working on the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Ordinance. There'll be a public hearing in March and a vote on the ordinance on April 3rd of this year. They're doing a number of events. The last one was December 10th. Elliot Coleman, organic farmer, spoke in Blue Hill, and there are two more events coming up this winter to hold forums for public discussion on pesticides, its ramifications, and this proposed ordinance. So, Rick Traub, talk with us first about what this proposed ordinance does.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. This ordinance, we, in Maine right now, there are at least 29 communities that have passed pesticide-related ordinances that in some way regulate the use of pesticides. And the ordinance that we've written and are proposing to the voters of Blue Hill is modeled on a handful of those ordinances around the state. Primarily, we drew on South Portland and Portland. They each have an ordinance. Camden, Rockland, and Ogunquit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're inventing anything new or advocating for something that's never been done before. What we want to do now is just bring this to a local level here in Blue Hill.
If your ordinance is the same as those, what are all these ordinances doing to prohibit pesticide usage?
Well, each ordinance is a little bit different. In the smaller towns that I mentioned, their ordinances run maybe 2, 3, 4 pages. The ones in South Portland are considerably longer. I think I'd say a dozen to 15 pages, and they all are asking similar things, but they're not identical. As far as Blue Hill is concerned, one of the main things that would be in this ordinance is that the sale of pesticides would be banned in Blue Hill. And by pesticides, it's kind of an umbrella where we're using that to cover pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and different toxic chemicals. And these are all products that are currently not permitted under the United States government has a new or relatively new organic program. And these are all pesticides that are not permitted under that program. So we're basing part of what we're asking to be prohibited is based on federal statutes for organic agriculture.
So it's prohibiting the sale of these products and the use of these products, although we understand there's a number of exemptions. Can you talk about what will be prohibited, what's proposing to be prohibited to be used both on the more industrial level as well as for home use?
Right. Well, on the first of all, on the industrial or commercial farm level, Maine has a statute called the Right to Farm Act, and commercial farms are pretty much permitted to do what they want as long as they meet certain guidelines. So this ordinance in Blue Hill will not affect commercial farming in any way. It's not something that we are legally able to do. So what the ordinance will affect, though, are any other usage of these products on private land, on public or town land. They would no longer be permitted.
So like spraying roadside herbicides, are we talking pesticide application in gardens? Flesh that out a little more.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, as far as the state is concerned and state right-of-ways, that area is a little bit gray, and that's something we would have to flesh out. But as far as, private homeowners or a town of Blue Hill say, we've got athletic fields, we have town park, we have town walkways, town paths, walking areas and different areas like that. So mm-hmm. the use of pesticides would not be permitted on any of those areas. You know, no schools could use them on their athletic fields, which is currently being done right now, and certainly private individuals. And we also, the golf course is included in this also. And our reasoning behind the golf course is that golf course is owned by private individuals. And so our thinking is that if we're asking private individuals in Blue Hill not to use these products, we would be asking the golf course the same thing. And by the way, there are organic golf courses right now in existence in the United States. There's one on Cape Cod. I researched this a little bit. There are golfing magazines that have written many articles around this trend in golfing because, you know, for the workers that spray the things, it's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for the people that play golf. And so the golf course would be included on under this proposal.
And what would be exempt? Looking quickly over the proposed ordinance, there were a number of exemptions listed, if you can give folks an idea of that.
Yeah, I can do that. And one, we've had a few people have asked me, the first one thing that's on a lot of people's minds, including my own, is ticks and tick treatment. So tick treatments are exempt for pets and also for personal use. And we have, you know, under our exemptions, there's insect repellents for bodily applications. Those would be exempt. What would not be exempt would be, you know, tick treatment on landscape or around one's home. There's certain products, you know, if it's not a natural or organic product or a product that is permitted by these federal regulations, those would not be allowed. But personal treatment on oneself would be. So pet supplies, disinfectants, germicides, anything used as the manufacturer says it should be used. Indoor pesticide use is permitted. Rodent control is permitted. Swimming pool supplies, paint stains, wood preservatives, this stuff is all permitted. Drinking water treatment, et cetera, all permitted. So basically we're permitting... you know, a lot of things. What we really want to do is get the product out of the stores and educate people about other ways to go about things. I mean, one thing that I read, I guess a couple of months ago when I was researching this, and they were comparing pesticide use to organic methods. What I read was pesticide, you know, commercial pesticides are product-based, and, you know, organic measures are knowledge-based.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play part of Elliot's talk later on, you'll see that because Elliot, you know, he talked for us for half an hour, and it was all knowledge-based things that he's learned and that he was, you know, sharing with us as alternatives to using pesticides.
So again, to emphasize, part of this campaign or an integral part of this campaign is not only the banning of these certain pesticides and herbicides, but to more fully educate and explore as a community what the alternatives to that are, which we should say the Blue Pill Peninsula has a long history of organic farming, as Elliot Coleman can attest to.
Right. No, absolutely. And when we went to the select board, you know, back in the summer to begin our conversation about this, you know, they were encouraging us to start an educational campaign, maybe even instead of what we're doing, which is this ordinance. And we thought, well, education, you know, is definitely a part of it. But for us, that wasn't enough. So we're currently petitioning right now. I just want to, you know, just make one little addendum to what you said at the beginning.
Yes.
We, you know, to get on the ballot in April for town meeting, we had to gather signatures. We need 168 signatures, and that's based on 10% of the last gubernatorial election, the number of people who voted in Blue Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We're over 230 right now, and we're still gathering. So we will meet that threshold. So we're not really officially on the ballot until the town clerk, you know, verifies our signatures and the select board says, okay, this is on the ballot. But we're certainly intending, you know, to check all the boxes and get there. But we're not officially there yet. But we do have enough signatures. I mean, well over the amount of signatures needed to make this happen.
Great. Thanks for that clarification. And obviously, we've been alluding to the harmful effects of pesticides on the ecosystem and on human health. But if you can talk about the impetus for this ordinance, why this ordinance?
Well, it's interesting. We came to this. I'm working with Gabrielle Wellman and Samina Kurlik, who live in East Blue Hill. I live in Blue Hill. They live in East Blue Hill. And 2 years ago, these two women brought to town vote the ordinance that banned single-use plastic bags in Blue Hill, and also single-use takeout polystyrene containers. Those were banned in Blue Hill, and Samina and Gabrielle are the ones who led that campaign and made that happen. And then in their own corner, they were talking about pesticides, and me in my little world, I was giving a lot of thought to pesticides because I've been reading more and more about this product called Roundup that is more and more in the news now. And diving into that a little bit and reading about the dangers of its principal ingredient, which is glyphosate, and just wondering what I could do on a local level to address this problem, because trying to address it on a larger state or national level just seemed way too overwhelming and way beyond my skill set. So I had this idea. I went to the select board to just get some information, and Samina and Gabrielle were at that same meeting for the same reason. And we didn't know the other was going to be there, and so we just started working together.
And how has the campaign been going since then, as far as interest in the community?
I think it's been going really well. I mean, we started in the summer, in July. We met every week for about 5 months, weekly meetings to write this ordinance. Then we got our petition together, and we started gathering signatures, I think, beginning of November, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, we are really very encouraged. I mean, there are people who have told us that who would not sign. We understand that. But really, I would say 99% of the people we've talked to have just been so happy that someone has picked this up and is putting energy into it.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today, we're looking at a proposed ordinance which would prohibit the sale, application, and storage of synthetic pesticides in the town of Blue Hill, with exemptions including for commercial agriculture. We are speaking with Rick Traub, an organizer with the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Ordinance Group.
So we're having three educational meetings, monthly meetings, leading up to March. We had our first one in January with Elliott. And our next one is actually second Tuesday of January. It's going to be January 14th, also at the library. And our speaker for this one is going to be Dr. Marley Saxman. She's a naturopath in Ellsworth, and she's going to be speaking on the impact of pesticides on human health. And we're really excited about that and hope people will come out for that. For Elliott's evening, we filled the Howard Room, and that was very exciting. Lots of good questions. There were people there who use pesticides, who came to that meeting to hear from Elliott and from the people there, you know, what alternatives might be. So there's a lot of open-mindedness, and people are really looking for alternatives. A woman came up to me and said, I've got a garage full of Roundup. What do I do with it? You know, I mean, that's a really very good question.
And there'll be another meeting, the topic and lecture to be announced on February 11th, and March is the public hearing if all goes as planned as far as putting the ordinance on the ballot.
The February meeting of February 11th, that's not finalized yet, but I think it's going to be the impact of pesticides on the environment. In March, there'll actually be a public hearing, which by state law has to be 10 days before the vote, at least 10 days before the vote. And that public hearing is actually organized and held by the town of Blue Hill.
And for more information on the ordinance, on this campaign, and a lot of the research and resources that you all have compiled, it's BlueHillHealthyEcosystem.com. Is that right?
That's it. It's BlueHillHealthyEcosystem.com. It's turned into quite a comprehensive website. We've probably got close to 200 articles on there right now. You can read the ordinance. There are frequently asked questions and just a whole range of different topics. And we also have a pretty large category on healthy solutions, because we want to offer alternatives to people.
Rick Traub, anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, we hope that people will educate themselves, go on our website. We also have a very new Facebook page that's up now. It's getting updated 4 or 5 times a week. So if Facebook's your thing, you can go on there and read about it. And just education is just really a great way to begin to study this problem. You can go online and really read for days. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of it's unpleasant information, but there are also, like I said, a lot of good solutions and people working to do things in a more healthy way. So we are still gathering signatures for our petition to get this ordinance brought to vote in Blue Hill on April 3rd. And we have petitions at different places around town, three places in Blue Hill. There's Borealis Press up by Arborvine Restaurant. There's Blue Hill Books and also Blue Hill Wine Shop. They all have petitions, and Blue Hill voters can go in and sign those there. And we also have a table at the next two winter markets at Mainscape, the next two Saturdays from 9:30 till about 11:30 or so. We'll be there answering questions, and we'll have petitions that people can sign if they would like to.
Rick Traub, we'll continue to follow the issue, and thanks for coming on the program today, Rick Traub with Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Group.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
This is Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we're looking at the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Ordinance, which would prohibit the sale, application, or storage of synthetic pesticides in the town of Blue Hill, with exemptions, including for commercial agriculture. On December 10th, Elliot Coleman, organic farmer, researcher, author, and educator from Harborside, Maine, spoke at an educational forum hosted by the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Campaign. Here is some of that talk.
So this man, he's a father, he's a husband, he's a farmer, he's a author, he's a educator, he's an instigator, he's a hellraiser, and my friend, Elliot Coleman. Yeah.
Okay, it's always good to begin with somebody else's wisdom. This is a quote from H.L. Mencken. There is always a well-known solution to every human problem. Neat, plausible, and wrong. I didn't start farming until 1965, and I didn't come into it with any knowledge about agriculture. I have a degree in literature. But in 1963, you couldn't have missed Silent Spring and all the information that was around then about pesticides. The trouble is that by 1963, pesticides were sort of up there with Mother and the Flag and apple pie. They were accepted. That's why everybody went berserk at Silent Spring. Well, what happens in a case like that, you get what's known as the Semmelweis reaction. Do you know who Ignaz Semmelweis was? No one knows who Ignaz was.
Yeah.
Ignaz was the guy who pointed out to the doctors at his time that if they didn't wash their hands after cutting up a cadaver before they went and assisted in childbirth, that they were responsible for all of the women dying in childbirth. And since all the doctors at the time were wealthy aristocratic types, the idea that this little creep could tell them that their hands were passing bad things, didn't even know what germs were. I mean, this was just outrageous. The Semmelweis reaction is what happens when an idea has become too accepted to question. So when I started reading about organic farming, one of the first things I read in all the books was that plants grown organically were healthy and weren't bothered by insects. And none of them gave any proof for it. It was just experience. But to me, that was the most fascinating thing I'd ever read about, because after reading Silent Spring, I started looking into what the pesticides had been before DDT came along. And the pesticides that DDT replaced, the main one, was something called lead arsenate. It was a combination of lead and arsenic, and it was used on everything. Now you have to wonder what species is ignorant enough to willingly have lead and arsenic sprayed on their food before they eat it. So you can understand that anyone suggesting that pesticides were bad, if people were eating lead and arsenic every day and not screaming about it, well, this was a big step. But I did get involved. I did start farming, and I kept my eyes open. And so I said, okay, the first year we had cucumber beetles on the cucumbers. So the next year, I took two fields, and one I mixed seaweed and horse manure, because I knew they were good old-time fertilizers that were known to help plants. And the other field I put chicken manure on. And then I planted them both, the same crop, the same time in next year, and lo and behold, we had cucumber beetles on this field and not on this one. They were side by side. And I said, oh, isn't that interesting? Maybe these books aren't fibbing. And then I was harvesting carrots one day, and we turned out some pretty nice carrots. They were pretty good. And I was harvesting, and all of a sudden, the ones I were pulling all had root maggot. Well, I said, what the hell is going on? So I kept going, and about 4 feet later, they were all coming out beautiful again. And I had to think back, but I remembered that when I had been chiseling that field the fall before, the chisel plow had come up with a big rock. And so I'd come in with my tractor, pried this huge rock out, and then went and got a scoop of topsoil somewhere and dumped it in the hole. In other words, these carrots were growing in a soil that we had not brought up to the fertility standards that we had learned to use. And it was just like night and day. No maggots, maggots all the way across here, no maggots again. Experiences like that were happening all the time. In 1979, the USDA started a study, believe it or not, on organic farming. And the reason they did was that the ag secretary at the time, Borlaug, was home at Christmas, and his next-door neighbor, who fortunately for all of us was a very conservative Republican, came for a Christmas cocktail party and mentioned to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture that he and his son had converted their farm to organic farming 6 years ago. And they were now making more money, and they were having no problems at all. If he'd heard that from someone with long hair or somebody who looks like me, he wouldn't have believed it, but his conservative Republican neighbor, he had to listen to him. He went back to Washington and told the USDA they were going to do a study evaluating organic agriculture. And they went all over the U.S., and then I got a phone call one day from somebody at the USDA because they'd heard that I'd been taking groups to Europe to visit organic farms in Europe, and they wanted to know what was going on in Europe. Back then, the Europeans were way ahead of us, and there was just some mind-blowing good farming, organic farming, going on in Europe. And so we had four USDA scientists and me and a translator, and this day it was great. We were standing on the edge of the field talking to the German farmer through a translator, and one of the people the USDA sent was the dean of entomology, that's bug study, at a major American university. And he wandered out in the field in the usual entomologist pose. He's bending over, sweeping his hand over the top of the crops to see which insects are there. And he keep going on, and we're talking to the farmer, and finally we notice that he's stopped moving, and he's just standing there. And we look over at him, and he looks back, and he says, we can't even do this well with pesticides. And I never thought he was the same again. I kid, it's like I took a Baptist to the Catholic Church and, you know, God said, hi, I live here. You know, this was more than he could deal with. And so enough experiences like that make you think, golly, you know, maybe there is something going on here. Well, there is more and more going on than you can believe. And this has been my favorite research topic for years. If you wander through the scientific literature, as I've learned to do, because, you know, occasionally in the past, I've been invited to universities to talk about organic farming. And it's a lot better now. They actually know how to spell the word. But back in the 70s, there were times when I could hear the dean saying, well, why the hell we invite this guy? Yeah, everybody knows it doesn't work. And I'd say, oh, excuse me, Dean Smith, would you mind sharing with us the scientific data upon which you're basing that statement? He said, well, there aren't any data. Nobody looks into this foolish stuff. And I say, I see, is that the usual standard of scientific inquiry that applies here at the university? Really, this was an uphill battle. I used to say the quality one most needed to be an organic farmer was a thick skin. But the stuff coming out now is just fantastic. Scientists have become fascinated not only by the human microbiome, but the rhizosphere microbiome around the roots of crops. And what they are finding out is that if you are doing right by the soil, you have all the organic matter in there, you put in compost, you're running everything correctly, the plant manages its well-being. The plant, by giving off exudates from its roots, chooses the bacterial population it wants that helps induce resistance against pests and diseases in the plant. I mean, this is so miraculous. You say, holy cow, we actually figured this out? We're actually paying attention to what the natural world is doing? There is one serious flaw in what organic farming does. It only makes money for the farmer. If I do this right, I'm not buying any inputs. I'm using crop rotation, green manures, cover crops, mixed livestock, and all of those things. I'm taking advantage of everything the natural world will provide for free. And these are the systems that have been going on since time immemorial. I'm just aiding and abetting them in a way that I have learned they need to be aided and abetted. And if I do that, I can grow these beautiful plants. If I can grow these beautiful plants that way and don't need pesticides, I'm dangerous. How can you make money off of somebody who knows he doesn't need to buy your product? Now, this seems, I don't think this has been a conscious effort, but sometimes I wonder if it isn't, because if someone has a way of doing something successfully, and that way is not commodifiable, that concept is not going to go anywhere in the world we live in. So it's up to all of us to read the old literature, read the old books, and write it down. So I wrote a chapter for this book. It came out in 1983. And that group of USDA people I took to Europe in 1979, their report came out in 1980, and all of a sudden, it was okay for the USDA to even vaguely think about these ideas. What happened shortly after that? Let's see, a different president got elected. He was from California, I think. And all of the USDA interest in even learning how to spell organic was shut down. In the old days when organic began, it went from healthy soil to healthy plants to healthy animals to healthy people. And recently we've added in and a healthy planet. But the healthy people was the initial spark for the early organic farmers who wanted to grow food that was better for people.
Again, that was organic gardener and agricultural researcher Elliot Coleman. On January 14th, the Blue Hill Healthy Ecosystem Campaign will host a talk by Dr. Marley Sackman on the effects of pesticides on human health at the Blue Hill Library at 7 p.m. Matt Murphy recorded the talk with Elliot Coleman. And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced public affairs programming at weru.org.